So we're going to learn a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece of Torah tonight. You still said
awesome running, Preston.
The French chateau. 35 minutes.
All right. Let's say we're gonna learn a little bit a beautiful piece by Rabbi Nachman tonight. You know, the Shulchan Aruch brings down. The Magen Avraham brings down the idea that there used to be a minog that the Bali Tfilo, the Bal Tokeo, the Halacha says, Mafrishin also mituma, gimo yomim, lifnei yomtiv. There's a concept that we go ahead and, you know, to bring in more chairs. So there's a concept that we go ahead and where Mafrish, we separate out the Bal Tokeo, the Bali Tfilo, 3 days before the Yom Tov. So there's a lot of discussion about the 3 days before the Yom Tov. What's the pshat? So the truth is, we know it seems to be a little bit reminiscent about the fact that Gemara Sanhedrin brings down that by the Kohen Gadol, they would go ahead and they would be makrish and they would separate him out right after Rosh Hashanah and dance for the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So I saw a beautiful idea that Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh brings down. He says that the concept of 3 days is there's a concept by certain karbanos in certain circumstances, there's a concept called bikur, that for a certain amount of time, specifically for 3 days, you would keep the karban, examine the karban, to make sure that the karban was free from any type of blemish, from any type of mum. Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says that they used to separate out the Baal Tefillah, the Baal Tokeah, the Makri, 3 days before the Yom Tov, because these are the people that are the Kabanos, these are the people that represent the Kodesh of the Kehila. And they prepare themselves for 3 days. And then the Baal Shem Tov says something absolutely amazing. He says, you know, on one hand we say that there's Niskatnu Hadoros, that the generations have become, the generations diminish. The further we leave, the further we get away from Har Sinai, the more the greatness of the individual generations and the individual diminishes. But to a certain degree, what ends up happening is the Kiddusha may no longer rest with certain Yechidim. Meaning we may not have the same level of Gedolim as we once had once upon a time. But here's the amazing part of Kiddusha. There's always the same amount of Kiddusha in this world. So when there are a lot of great people, that Kiddusha is concentrated among the great. When there are not a lot of great people, that Kiddusha devolves upon Pshutei Amcha. It devolves upon regular people. Like all of us here tonight, just regular, good, simple, Pashut Jews. We all have a share in that Kiddusha. Such says the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. 3 days before the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, a person has to be mafresh himself. A person has to go ahead and begin to separate himself from anything that could render him tamei, from anything that could sully his neshama, from anything that could somehow potentially defile me. I have to begin to separate myself. And you'll say, I'm supposed to do that the whole year. I'm supposed to watch myself from becoming tamei the entire year. It's true, I'm supposed to do it the whole year. But like many things we're supposed to do the whole year, we don't necessarily do. But now as we come close to Rosh Hashanah, so you understand, we sit here tonight, beautiful night, on Erev Shabbos Kodesh, the last Shabbos of the year, which is the Shabbos that is infused with so much potential in and of itself. But here's something else that's amazing. It's 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. Erev Shabbos Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Erev Rosh Hashanah, 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. And this is really the moment where we have to really take upon ourselves an additional Kabbalah. But this is not a Kabbalah to say extra tilim or to give extra tzedakah. Those are all things we should do anyway. Do extra chasadim. This is a Kabbalah for the next 3 days. We have to try to be especially vigilant with our neshamas. We have to really try to go into the Yom HaDin. We're wonderful throughout the year. But for the next 3 days, we have to try just a little bit harder. For the next 3 days, we have to push ourselves just a little bit more to be mafresh, to separate ourselves from anything that could potentially bring us down. And with that, to kind of help us along these journeys of the next 3 days, we're going to do a beautiful piece by Rabbi Nachman. Unless anybody has a sheet? A sheet, yeah? Okay, there are extra sheets on the table if anyone needs. So, Dr. Fine? Good? You're good. All right. So we'll say, so take a look at paragraph A on the hand that you have over here. So remember the pasuk we're talking about, Rabbi Nachman quotes on the pasuk in this week's parasha, Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ve'es levav zerecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu will literally circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. Your heart, the heart of your children, or the off, your offspring, in order to love Hashem, your God, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, for the duration of your life. And our Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman, says something so amazing. If you look in paragraph A, he says, Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha. Now the Rebbe is intrigued by this lashon of Umal. Umal means what? Bris Mila. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be mal our heart. He's going to circumcise our heart and the heart of our offspring. So the Rebbe is intrigued. Why does the Torah mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said, I'm going to open your heart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make your heart receptive. What do you mean, umal? Why does that say I'm going to circumcise your heart? And the Rebbe says something beautiful. He says, Im yiske sheyargish be'emes ke'ev chata'av haynu kishiyomo es arlas levavo. So we'll say the Rebbe says something amazing. This is one of the things that's important for us to do, is to feel the pain of our sins. You know, we'll say we live in a very pleasure-seeking society. And if there's one thing we constantly try to avoid, it's pain. We do anything to avoid pain, whether it's physical pain, whether it's emotional pain, and whether it's spiritual pain. If there's a medication for it, self-medicate for it, whatever we do, all of us have different mechanisms through which we go ahead and we deal with pain. But here's the problem, says the Rebbe, is that if you don't embrace the pain of life, there's no ability to grow. And specifically, if I don't embrace the pain of my mistakes, then I can never grow past them. I'm always going to be stuck in them because I've never dealt with them. So the Rebbe says, Im yiske, listen to his lashon, if a person is privileged, sheyargish be'emes ke'ev chata'av, that a person will feel the pain of his sins. You say to yourself, such a privilege like that I could do without. No, we can't do it. Because as difficult as it is to feel the pain of my sins, once I feel that pain, I'm on the road to recovery. You know, Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev writes this. He says, you know, if you look at it in a physical sense, he says, pain sometimes is an incredible beracha. Why? Because pain shows you that something is wrong. And pain shows you that the entity or the limb or the part of the body in which you're having pain is still reacting. You know, we'll say like, lahavdil. What happens again, if you're at the doctor and they're testing your reflexes and, you know, you feel the pinprick in the toe, Baruch Hashem, it hurts, but that's a bracha. So you say to yourself, oh, I wish I didn't feel the pinprick. Chas v'shalom. If you don't feel the pinprick, if I don't feel the pain, that means again, there's something wrong with my extremities. Says Rabbi Nachman, we have to embrace to feel the pain of my chatoim, to feel the pain of my sins, to a certain degree is an incredible bracha. He says, but when could we feel that? Haynu kishiyamo es arlas levavo. We'll say, it's only when we circumcise our hearts. Ki kozman shalibo orel va'atum, I efshalo lahargish be'emes. Because Rabbi says, as long as the heart is uncircumcised, it's orel. Orel and atum. Atum means closed off. I efshalo lahargish be'emes. We'll say, you know, so many of us go through life and we're closed off. Not only just closed books, I mean, we shut down emotionally and spiritually. We don't give our spouses the love they deserve because we hold back. We don't give our children the love they deserve because we hold back. We can't enter into meaningful friendships because we hold back, because we close off. And the Rebbe says, any time that the heart is closed off, arel va'atum, you can't feel anything. Judaism, Yiddishkeit life is all about opening your heart. All about peeling off the klipos, peeling off the layers, and finding the ability to feel. It's only once a person circumcises, takes away the arla of the heart, paragraph B, chalal belief, and I will say, so what happens when you circumcise the heart? When you peel back all of the layers, there's a chalal. You see, there's a void. Because what happens sometimes in life is as a result of my sins. We often think that the collateral damage of sin is onesh, is the punishment. It's not true. Onesh, I feel very comfortable saying this, onesh is the least important part of sin. You know why? Punishment is the least important part of your sin. You know why? Why?
You're left over with the consequences of your actions.
I'm sorry?
You're left over with the consequences.
Good, that is true. But why am I not worried about that? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Rachamim. God is compassionate. The emotional doesn't have a desire to punish us. The Shmuel has a desire for us to get our life on track. So punishment we could contend with. The scariest fallout from the repercussions of my actions is when I wake up one day and there's a void inside of me. Because it will say, the greatest fallout of sin is not the onus. The greatest fallout of sin is that all of that time that I spent doing the wrong thing, I could have been doing the right thing. I could have been filling my heart and filling my life and filling my soul with so much positive energy. And when I decide to do tshuva and I peel back the layers, I realize there's an emptiness inside of me. And when I feel that void, when I feel that emptiness is what triggers tshuva. I don't want to feel empty. I want to feel like a complete individual. People say, you know, we all feel this. Everybody has a void. Like Lahavdil Elef Alfi Rive Havdalos. I've said this before in this year. It's always amazing. You know, Yesh Chachma Bagoyim. There's wisdom in the nations of the world. And what do you see almost inevitably in the life cycle of every single Hollywood star at some point in time? Right? So our addiction, that's true. Right? Again, so whether it's Madonna learning Kabbalah, or Tom Cruise doing Scientology. I have a friend who told me these things. I don't know. but you know, it's amazing. What's the pshat? Because when you have more money, see, everybody thinks, if I had more money, I'd feel complete. Everybody thinks, you know what? I will say, the human nature is, I'm never happy here, but I know I'd be happier over there. Right? Everybody has their over there. Right? That next place where I'm going to get to, and that's where I'm going to be happy. And I will say, we know it's sheker. It's not true. If a person wants to be happy, you need to find a way to be happy in shoving where you are. Maximize your circumstances. Grow where you are. That's ultimately, again, people who spend their lives always thinking something else is going to make them happy. They're never happy. They're always on the path to looking for the next thing. So the Rebbe says over here that when a person ultimately peels back the arla, there's an emptiness, there's a void. I don't want to feel empty. It's that feeling of emptiness that triggers the process of tshuva. She says, Va'azai mi godol hacharato, yargishu gam, so listen to these words, yargishu gam kol halavavos, shal kol hatipos, shenim shechu mimenu. But say, Rabbi Nachman here says something absolutely amazing. He says, from each of us, and from each of our actions, there are tipos. There are little droplets, tipos that come from me. We'll explain what this means in just a moment. So what's he says, the Rebbe, something amazing. Each and every one of us has little tipos, has little pieces of our heart, little sparks of us that we disseminate everywhere we go. And we'll discuss some of these tipos we give to our children. And some of these tipos are just the impact of our actions on the world. And the Rebbe says something amazing. When a Jew does tshuva, so we'll say, let me take it a step back. So when I'm incomplete, when there's a void, so the tipos, the little droplets of my heart that disseminate everywhere, those droplets are deficient also. Because if I'm deficient, then the tipos that come from me are deficient as well. But says Rebbe something amazing. When I do tshuva, not only do I change myself, but I change all of the tipos. I change all of the droplets that have come from me as well. He says, "Yargishu sham b'makom shein." We'll explain what this means in just a moment. Hein osam shenimshichu paragraph simimenu v'nishavu mehem banav mimin adam. See, I will say some of my most important droplets, they're embedded in my children. They're embedded in my children. I will say every single thing that I do, there's a little spark of me that comes off that embeds itself in my children. This, of course, again, is in a very real sense that our children learn from our behaviors. Our children are shaped from the things we do and we don't do. So every single maisa I do, or every single maisa I don't do, has a way in shaping the tipos, the droplets, that then embed themselves in my children. And I will say, sometimes again, through my actions, there are droplets that kind of spin off me, and they go to makom acher. But I say, what's makom acher? Makom acher often is euphemistic for Gehenim. For Gehenim, but Gehenim doesn't have to be that place you go to after 120. Gehenim just means sometimes the sparks that I am emitting, the sparks that I'm giving off, are not the right kind of sparks. They're not the sparks that make the world brighter. They're not the sparks that contribute to illumination. They're just sparks that kind of sit around and don't actually accomplish anything. He goes on, V'gam sham yesh lahem lev u'sha'ari varim. Va'azai says the Rebbe something amazing. Va'azai, kishiyamo es levavo, v'yargish levavo goldol kevo. So it says the Rebbe something amazing. when a person goes ahead and circumcises his heart, and he begins to feel in his heart, Godol Ke'evo, the great nature of his pain, he begins to feel the full extent of his pain, V'yaschil lehitztaer, or lehischaret be'emes, and a person begins to feel the pain, and to do real charata, Azai yargishu sham kol halavavos shalatipos. The Rebbe says something absolutely amazing. That at the end of the day, when I do tshuva, and I both say, remember, the reason why the Rebbe is so important over here is because do you know why, how tshuva starts? You see, everybody thinks that tshuva starts by saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. But I say, you know, there's a step before you're sorry. The step before you're sorry is I have to open my heart. I have to make myself vulnerable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to peel away all of the layers. You know, Rabbi Yossi, we create so many different layers because we often don't want to contend with the reality of who we are, of how we're living, or of what we're doing. So we erect barriers, protective fences that obscure my true identity. So I just don't have to deal directly with things. The first part of tshuva is to bring down the walls. The first part of tshuva is to remove the arla. The first part of tshuva is, let me see who I really am. Let me take a look at myself. And don't be afraid of Osei, because, you know, people are often scared to make themselves vulnerable, right? We see this all the time in relationships, right? People are scared to make themselves vulnerable in relationships. Why? Why? Come in here. Come in here. Right? So people are scared to make themselves vulnerable. Why? Because they're going to get hurt. Because I put myself out there for someone, and I don't know if they're going to reciprocate. I don't know if they're going to reciprocate. Right? I want to say I love you. I want to give a hug. But is the person going to reciprocate? I'm not sure. It's awkward. Here's the amazing part about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's supposed to be, we can always make ourselves vulnerable. And you never have to worry about the effort or the initiative not being reciprocated. Because all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants at the end of the day is for us to open our hearts to Him, to peel off the arla, to accept the fact that yes, there is a void. There is a void. And I am committed to filling that void. That's my avoda. And the Rebbe goes on, he says, and the moment I peel back that arla, the moment I accept the void, the moment I begin the tshuva process, something amazing happens. I'm able not only to lift up myself, but I'm able to go ahead and repair all of those handicapped sparks that have been flying off me all of those years. All of those sparks, which the Rebbe calls, which he calls the tipos, telavavos shel hatipos, all of those droplets of heart, of my lab that have been coming off me all the time, that are embedded in my children, that are embedded in my family, that are embedded in my friends, that are embedded in my world. When I lift myself up, I lift up all of those tipos as well. This paragraph D. Kimetrila nitmala shem shetov lahem. Kihein mazike alma. Rak acharkach kishanimo levavam aidi shanimo levavavim. Azai margishin heichonheim. Osai, you know, I want to tell you something amazing. You know, sometimes we struggle. Thank you. Thank you very much. Sometimes we struggle with how to raise inspired children. So it's not pashut. It's not pashut. We're bombarded in a world. I mean, we're adults, and we're overwhelmed by the realities of what we have to contend with. And a child, you know, children, no matter how much a parent tries to shield their child, and we should shield our children to the greatest degree possible. The notion that I'll expose my kids to things because it'll make them stronger is sheker. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense, and it's never worked. A person has to cocoon their child as much as possible. We all know, as much as you cocoon your child, there's a limit. At some point in time, I can't control everything that goes on. So says Rabbi Nachman, do you want to know how to give my child some additional ruchnius? You see, every single time I talk to my child, and every single time I interact with my child, there are what the Rebbe calls these tipos shel lev, these drops of my heart that come off of me and go into my child. So the Rebbe says something amazing. If I'm kadosh, if I've circumcised my heart, if I've filled the void with the right things, so that means my tipos, my droplets are pure and holy. That means when my droplets go from me and they go into my child, when I talk to my child, those tipos that go from my child, from me to my child, I'm lifting up my child. When I learn with my child, those tipos that are coming from me to my child, lift up my child. And I will say, it's not just our children, it's our friends, it's our family. When I am Kadosh, when I am holy, when I am holding good with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the tipo shalev, the droplets of my heart are pure. And therefore when they go to my friends, or they go to my family, or they go to my community, or they go to my chevra, or they go to my workplace, those tipos lift up the world around me. But the tipos are only holy if I, the source, am holy as well. And the Rebbe goes on, he says, and here's the beautiful part, and here's the great miracle of tshuva, that even if, let's say, my tipos this past year have not been so holy, even if the droplets from my heart have not been so great, because at the end of the day, perhaps, I wasn't holding in such a great spiritual place. But here's the amazing part. Once I remove the arba from my heart, once I accept the void, once I decide to do tshuva, I not only lift up myself, I also listen to these words, because it's pilei ploim, it's hard to even wrap our head around this. Not only does tshuva change me, but tshuva changes all of the tipos halev, all of the droplets of heart that I gave out over the year. Which means, I will say, all of those millions of tipos that I put into my children over the course of this year, maybe they weren't so great, because maybe I wasn't holding in such a great place. When I do tshuva, not only do I lift up myself, but what? I lift up those tipos that are in my children as well. When I do tshuva, not only do I lift up myself, but I lift up the tipos that I went ahead and I disseminated to the world around me. So we'll see what the Rebbe is saying, that when the Jew does tshuva, he doesn't just change himself. He changes everyone and everything around him. When I lift myself up, I lift my world up also. When I lift myself up, I lift up all of the tipos. When I lift myself up, all of those droplets of my heart that I've shared with everyone and everything around me lift up as well. The Rebbe goes on in paragraph D, a few lines down. He says, "V'na'asa shamrash gadol b'neim v'zeu uma." Was it four lines up from the bottom? Paragraph D, v'zeu uma l'shem elokecha es levavcha ve'es levav zarecha. This is the meaning of the phrase, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. Haynu kishayamal Hashem es levavo. Yimo gam levav zaro. We'll say, so what does it mean? This is the meaning of the passage of Rabbi Nachman. Umal Hashem elokecha es levavcha ves levav zaracha. The Torah says that when you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the opportunity to enter into your heart, if you go ahead and you remove the arla, if I remove the arla from my heart, the foreskin that's obscuring, that's preventing Kiddusha from entering in, if I remove it, if I remove that arla, and I let HaKadosh Baruch Hu in, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps me lift myself up, guess what? V'gam, excuse me, es levavcha, ve'es levav zaracha. When I'm lifted up, my children are lifted up. When I'm lifted up, my chaverim are lifted up. When I'm lifted up, my family's lifted up. When I'm lifted up, Klal Yisrael is lifted up. And when I'm lifted up, we'll say, B'liv Shem Guzman, no exaggeration. So mankind is lifted up. We'll say, just in case you're chassidically challenged and you're looking for a good litvish raya to this, I'll give you a good Rambam. And the truth, Rambam quotes the Gemara, and I never understood this Gemara. Right? The Rambam discusses the idea, quoting Rambam Sechas Kiddushin, that a person is supposed to view themselves as chetzio zakai, chetzio chayiv. I'm half righteous and half wicked or liable. And what happens? A person is supposed to realize that every single thing that I do tilts those scales one way or another. There's no such thing as an act that is neutral. Everything tilts the scales in one way or another. So what's the pshat? So the Rambam actually says, quotes the Gemara and says, that therefore a person should realize that if my scales are equal and I do an Avera, not only have I tilted my own scales, but what? I've tilted the scales of the entire humanity. And so too, if I do a mitzvah, not only do I tilt my own scales, but I tilt the scales of all of humanity as well. See, I'll be honest with you, I never understood that Rambam. Because that's a ridiculous amount of responsibility to vest. Well, pressure for sure, but ridiculous amount of responsibility to invest in the individual. So some guy who's not living responsibly should be able to determine the fate of the world. Every single one of us has the ability to determine the fate of the world. So the Pashut answer is?
Yes.
Correct. Yes. Yes, that in fact is the case. That's the way that the covenant of humanity, the covenant of mankind works. We all determine the fate of humanity.
So we better compensate for all the people that aren't doing their share.
I'm sorry?
We better compensate for all the
100%,
people that
are 100%. So that definitely creates a din of arvos, din of collective responsibility. But we'll say, now that I saw this Rabbi Nachman, I understand the Rambam in a totally different way. What the Rambam is really saying is like this. What the Gemara is really saying is, everything is, the world is in perfect balance. But here's the beautiful part. When I do tshuva, I redeem the world. Do you know why? Because Rabbah says, see, we think tshuva just impacts me. We think tshuva just goes in and changes my heart, but it's not true. Because tshuva has the ability, says Rabbi Nachman, to take all of the tipos halev, to take all of the droplets that have come from my heart throughout the year. And we'll say, those droplets come out every single time I open my mouth. Those droplets come out every single time that I act. Those droplets come out in every single thing that I do. And when I do tshuva, I lift up all of those droplets. That's the pshat. So yes, when I do tshuva, I'm not only changing myself, I'm changing and uplifting the world in its entirety. And says the Rebbe, lest you think that I'm making this up, this is what the pasuk means. Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if you allow me to partner with you in circumcising your heart, remove the arla, make yourself vulnerable, fill the void, lift yourself up, you're going to see something amazing is going to happen. Not only will you be lifted up, but ve'es levav zaracha. Your children, your family, your friends, your community, your people, your world is going to be lifted up also because, again, the power of tshuva is it infuses beautiful tara, beautiful purity into all of the tipos halev. And the Rebbe goes on, skip a little bit, he says, She'ar Gishu, he says, look at the last line in paragraph D. He says, Azayim Yichem Barav, She'ar Gishu Gamkein, hear her tshuva, paragraph E, Ayidei Shenimo Levav Aviyem. Also, listen to this. These sheets are yours, by the way, so you can feel free to underline these lines if you would like. Also, these words of Rabbi Nachman, I can't tell you, like, you know, we all worry about our children. We all worry about our children. And depending on what stage of life one is in, those worries take on different forms. So the Rebbe says, just understand, when I do tshuva, my tshuva is going to go ahead. My children will feel my tshuva. When I do tshuva, my children will feel the impact of my tshuva. Hear her tshuva ayidei shenimo levav aviyem. V'chein em nimshach l'makom acher chas v'shalom. Azay yimolu shama levavos yagisho kinekinis kala el. So too, if some of my droplets of my heart went to negative places because I did some negative things, I have the ability to redeem those droplets as well. V'hazman ha-mesugu lozeh. So we'll say, so when is the right time? So we'll say, just... you understand, I'm assuming it's just people are tired at the end of the week that you're not falling off your chairs about this, because this is life altering. This is mamish life. You can't be the same person after you see this. Because at the end of the day, I realize now that what's going to happen to me over the next number of days when I do tshuva is I'm changing the world. I'm changing my children, I'm lifting up my family, I'm able to reclaim all of those sparks that I thought were lost, all of those droplets of my heart that went to all the wrong places, and I'm able to reclaim them, I'm able to lift them up, I'm able to mitzayar them. That's the power of tshuva. I'm going to change the world in the next 10 days. I'm going to change the universe in the next 10 days, because through my tshuva, I not just lift up myself, but I lift up all of the droplets that I disseminated throughout the year, says the Rebbe. Although this is a timeless lesson, but there is a certain time of year which is most misugal, which is most appropriate for this. He says, when is that? Elo. Why Elo? And above, this is quite beautiful. Ki Elo Rashi Tevos Es Levavcha Ve Es Levav. Because Rebbe said the word Elo is found in this pasuk. Es Levavcha Ve Es Levav Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. Hainu Sheyamo Hashem Es Levavo Ve Es Levav Stam. Wherever my droplets of my heart went, wherever those sparks were disseminated throughout the year, here we find ourselves in the last days of Elul, 3 days before the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. And I will say, this is the opportunity we have to reclaim our sparks, make ourselves vulnerable, do tshuva, and change our world. Va'alkein, kishaniftar ha'adam. I will say, listen to this last phrase, and with this we'll end. The alkein, kishaniftar ha'adam, heim holchin achar hamita, umekonin alav. You know, I will say, after 120, so the biggest bracha is to have people who will follow your aram. Right? That's what we all want, is we should have friends, we should have family, who follow our Aron when we leave this world. Says Rabbi Nachman, do you know who's the greatest malava of our body as it leaves this world, of our neshama as it leaves this world? All of those tipos, all of those droplets of the heart, congregate around my Aron, and they are melaven me to the Olam Ha'emes. At the end of the day, the success of my life is dependent on what I do with the sparks of my heart. He says, Umekonin alav, and it's those sparks that ultimately eulogize me. Kimo banav mamish mimin adam, just like my children one day will eulogize me, those sparks will eulogize me. Ach shezehim hochim umekoninim acharav, hulo lebizan lecherpa gidol rachman alislan, rachman alislan mi'anash malal kiyadu. So we'll say, so Rabbi Nachman therefore shares with us a beautiful idea, which hopefully puts us in the right mindset for the Yamim Noron. You know, saying, a successful Rosh Hashanah is successful. People have different metrics for a successful Rosh Hashanah. So for some people, it's what time did davening end? That's the successful metric for Rosh Hashanah. Some people, again, you know, I was able to concentrate on the davening. Some people, and a variety of different things. Some people, you know, I didn't lose my temper over, so there's a big inyan not to get angry over Rosh Hashanah. So some people, again, I maximized my temper. Everybody has different metrics. There's one simple metric for a successful Rosh Hashanah, that I start the process of doing tshuva. Rabbi said, Rosh Hashanah is all about umala shamel kechas lavavcha. Rosh Hashanah are the 2 days where I allow myself to become vulnerable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I drop the facades, I drop the exteriors, and I open my heart. And I know that when I open my heart, I'm going to find the void. But it's okay, I embrace the void because I'm going to fill it with something beautiful this year. I said, we should be zochem, yetz Hashem. Over the next few days, and remember again, like I said before, like the way it started tonight, is we're 3 days away from Rosh Hashanah. And the Sfarim write that these 3 days, we have to be so exceptionally vigilant to separate ourselves from anything that could defile us. To be extra vigilant. We walk into Rosh Hashanah. You know, Bosai, if I begin to think about Rosh Hashanah on Sunday night, I'm late to the party. I should have started a long time ago. I didn't. But at least now it's 3 days. And for the next 3 days, I'm going to polish my neshama. For the next 3 days, I'm going to ready myself. For the next 3 days, I'm going to be like a karban. Because I want to go in mum free. I want to go in blemish free. Rabbi said, we should be zochem Yeretz Hashem over the course of the next 3 days, over the course of Yamim Noraim, to pull back the arla from our heart, to expose the void, to begin the process of doing tshuva, to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to make ourselves vulnerable to Him, and He will always reciprocate, He will always give us back love if we make ourselves vulnerable. And halavai in the zuchus of making ourselves vulnerable, beginning the process of tshuva. Rabbi said, we should be zochem Yeretz Hashem to reclaim our sparks. And by reclaiming our sparks, we should be zochem Yeretz Hashem to lift up our children, to lift up our families, to lift up our community, to lift up mankind. We should be zochem Yeretz Hashem that all of our sparks should gather together, and our sparks should be so beautifully bright, they should illuminate the world. And the collective light of our collective sparks should in Yeretz Hashem be the precursor to the great light of Mashiach Meherah B'Yameinu.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, so we're gonna sing a little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Torah, our tefillah. Halavai, we should be zochem yad Hashem together with our mishpachos, with our families, with our community, with all of Klal Yisrael, to be nichtav, to be nichtam, to be written, to be inscribed for a beautiful year, year of bracha, a year of mazel, a year of growth, a year of ruchnius, a year of chesed, and most of all, a year of Mashiach.
Amen.
Shkoyach.
Yeah, it's a month.